Luke 18, verse 19. Luke chapter 18 and verse 19. And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. This course is called Hard Questions, if you're new to it. This is number 29, I believe, if I'm counting correctly this year, the 29th question that's been turned in to me. There's many more to go yet. And again, I'll read the question to you just the way it was turned in to me. If you're new, we're going through a course called Hard Questions. The Bible says a man receives joy by the answer of his mouth. When he is able to answer a question, he's able to have joy. And that's true. Brother Gary was telling me about one of his friends who got a question answered that for a long time he hadn't been able to get an answer to, and the joy, you know, that it brings and the searching that it brings out for more truth. So there are answers. I don't have them all, but the Lord knows. And so we're going through Hard Questions. People are writing these out. I'm reading them and then trying to answer them, and maybe my answers don't satisfy, but maybe they get your mental processes going to help you at least head in the right direction. So here's 29, and again, this is exactly the way it was turned in. A Jehovah's Witness recently challenged the divinity of Christ with Luke 18 and verse 19. I did not know how to answer her query. She also used the Our Father prayer, asking why Jesus states, Hallowed be thy name, in reference to the Father, but not to himself. Okay, again, a Jehovah's Witness recently challenged the divinity of Christ with Luke 18, verse 19. I did not know how to answer her query. She also used the Our Father prayer, asking why Jesus states, Hallowed be thy name, in reference to the Father, but not to himself. Okay, the verse in question is Luke 18, 19. We've read it. And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Now let me just say a few things as kindly as I can try to about the Jehovah's Witnesses. Only 1% of the population of America is Jehovah's Witness, and the percentage is much less in the world. Although they do sometimes represent a thorn in our side, as some people think they're everywhere, they are not. They have not had much success in converting people from away from believing in the divinity of Jesus Christ. They have not had much success at all. I would give you these three rules when talking to them, first of all, before I try to answer this question. Number one is don't let them into your home. I believe that would be contrary to the scriptures to do that. In the book of 2 John, and verses 10 and 11, it says this, If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, what doctrine? Well, back in verse 7, he said, For many deceivers are entered into the world, which confess not that Jesus Christ, And the word Christ is a reference to divinity. For many deceivers are in the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. And then, three verses later, it says, If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him God's speed is partaker of his evil deeds. In other words, don't bid him God's speed or say something like, well, good luck, or God bless you, brother, or something like that. Don't even say anything like that to them. Now, I wouldn't be unkind to them. I don't think it's ever Christian to be unkind to anybody. But just say, no, I'm sorry, our doctrine is different, and according to the scriptures, I'm not allowed to bring you into my house. And they might say, oh, what scriptures, blah, 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 so on and so forth. But based on that verse, I wouldn't allow them into your house. Number two, only talk to one of them at a time, one-on-one. If you are going to talk to them, say, I would like to only talk to one of you at a time. Maybe establish a time when you can talk to them. Again, not in your house, but maybe meet somewhere else or outside. Because they always pair up in twos, but only talk to them one at a time. And then the third rule that I would lay down with them, and this is the important one, say to them this, I will only talk to one of you at a time. Under this condition, we only read and refer to the King James Bible. We only read and refer to the King James Bible. Because their Bible was written or rewritten in the between 1950 and 1960. It took 10 years for them to write the New World Translation of the Scriptures. Now, I want to pass this around. I know this might not mean much to you, and I can't spend much time, but I want to just pass this around, and if this gets closed, I want you to look at the foreword. There's a page on the front of their Bible called the foreword, and I got a little statement highlighted in the foreword, and that is this statement. In 1969, the committee released the Kingdom Interlinear Translation of Greek Scriptures, which presented under the Greek text revised by Westcott and Hort. Westcott and Hort. In other words, this did not come from the same text the King James Bible did. Our King James Bible, I just want you to see the words Westcott and Hort in there with your own eyes. Our King James Bible came from the Textus Receptus Greek, which means the received text. Westcott and Hort were too pagan, very, very heathen, translators, and if you want to know about them, I would suggest, because it's deep, I'd suggest you get Dr. William Grady's book called Final Authority. And there's an entire chapter on these two bishops. They call them bishops, we call them pastors nowadays. One was a man by the name of Bishop Hort, H-O-R-T. One was a man by the name of Bishop Westcott. These two men took it upon them to completely rewrite the Greek and to pervert it so that it would be more conformed to Roman Catholic teaching, even though they were Protestant bishops. These were very, very evil men. There's an entire chapter, and you know Bill Grady, when he writes, he documents everything. And there's an entire chapter about the strange behavior, how these men were members of the occult. They were into satanic things and so on, and they corrupted the scriptures. And every single translation that we have today known in the English language besides the King James Bible is taken from the Westcott and Hort Greek texts after they completely perverted them. And so there is a chapter in this book, and if you have the book, let me just find the chapter number so that if anybody's listening on the internet, they'll know to get this book called Final Authority by Dr. William Grady, that's G-R-A-D-Y, and chapter number 14 in his book is called Vessels of Dishonor. Vessels of Dishonor, it's all about these two men. The first one was named Brooke Foss Westcott, and the other was named Fenton John Anthony Hort. Westcott and Hort is how we refer to them. And it talks about them and their past and all the things they wrote, the things their sons wrote about them, all the secret societies they belonged into and their theology. And after studying about Westcott and Hort, you would not believe anything that is based on their writings. And that's what the New World Translation is based on. If you're going to talk to these people, if they don't agree to that, then just say our conversation's over. I only believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. And Because if they get the New World Translation into it, you're dead. You're dead in the water, because it twists everything. There are a lot of things that we believe. So let's get to the question now. A Jehovah's Witness recently challenged the divinity of Jesus Christ with Luke 18:19. Now, is Jesus Christ divine? Is he God in the flesh? Well, they don't believe so. And they deny that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. The Bible says that's the spirit of Antichrist. Anyone who denies that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, even though they'll look you right in the eye and say, oh yeah, we believe in Jesus Christ, it's not the same one you believe in. The Apostle Paul talked about another Jesus in both the books of 2 Corinthians and the book of Galatians. He talked about another Jesus. And same words we use, but a different Jesus entirely than what we believe in. This question is repeated in Matthew 19:17, Mark 10, verse 18, and again I read it here out of Luke 18:19. And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one that is God. Now it's very important to keep this verse in the text. So what happened here? Look at verse 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one that is God. Now, I looked all through the New Testament. This is the only person who ever referred to Jesus Christ as good master. The only one ever that said, call him good master. Others called him master, but this is the only one that came up to him and said, good master. There's only two interpretations to what Jesus Christ would mean by this statement here in verse 19. Why callest thou me good? None is good save one that is God. There would only be two ways to interpret that statement. What are the two ways? Just using your own mind. What are the only two ways you could interpret that statement here? What's Jesus saying about himself? What could he be saying? Okay, that's one interpretation. He's saying in this verse, I am God. What's the other one? That he's not good. Okay? There's only two interpretations of this verse, conclusions you can come up with, right? Jesus is either saying this, I'm not good. Or he's saying, I am God. And I think we just came up with that conclusion as a congregation. It's one of those two things. Now, of course, the big question has to come up then. Is Jesus good or not? And what does the wealth of all other scriptures teach on that subject? He's not only good, he's sinless. He's perfect. He's never done anything wrong. And so, I want to tell you about something I did this week. And you can't see the sheet of paper here. But I looked up the word Lord. L-O-R-D. It appears 670 times in the New Testament. I went through every one of those this week. Every time those appear in the New Testament. They directly refer to Jesus Christ 299 times. 299 times you'll see the word Lord directly tied to Jesus Christ. For instance, the Lord Jesus Christ. Or Christ Jesus our Lord. Any verse that somebody could debate, I left out. For instance, I didn't count Romans 10:13, where it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I didn't count that. Now, we all know that refers to Jesus, but I didn't count it because it didn't say Jesus. 299 times by my count, and I may be plus or minus a few here, 299 times Jesus is directly referred to as Lord in the New Testament, and this Jehovah's Witness would take one obscure verse and another obscure verse about Jesus teaching us to pray. He said, after this manner, Therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And they'll take one obscure verse like this, Luke 18:19, and they will discount 299 times where Jesus Christ is directly called Lord. Now Ephesians 4 and verse 5 says what? There's one Lord. There's one Lord. Now that's 299 times. There's many others in the New Testament, like as I said, Romans 10:13, where we know it's talking about Jesus Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why? Because Romans 10:13, it doesn't say whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. But we know it's referring to him because two verses earlier, in verses 9 and 10, it says that if thou shalt believe, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So it's well over 300, maybe 400, maybe 500 times, where either directly or indirectly, Jesus Christ is called Lord. And so, this is how cults are formed. They'll find one obscure verse, and they'll try to twist it. And then you'll be there like, well, I don't know why you said he wasn't good. Why callest thou me good? So the way to answer that then is by, of course, studying the other scriptures. You would answer the Jehovah's Witness and say this to them, is Jesus good? Is Jesus good? Because they challenge the divinity of Christ with this verse. Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. So you have to ask, is Jesus good? Well, we ought to have some verses on that. Let's turn to John 8 and verse 24, and I'm going to give you a bunch of verses now as time allows, and you'll just have to write them down real fast, But understand the divinity of Christ. As I mentioned recently, it's challenged constantly. The Da Vinci Code movie was invented by Satan through Hollywood for one purpose, to get some people to doubt the divinity of Christ. It's not going to make us doubt, but there's going to be some who will. The Gospel of Judas is for one purpose, to get people to doubt one doctrine, the most important doctrine, the bedrock of our faith, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And to get them to doubt the divinity of Jesus Christ. Now, is the divinity of Jesus Christ important? Well, look at John 8 and verse 24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now, does it sound like this doctrine is important? Except ye believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. It's not possible for somebody to deny the deity of Jesus Christ and be saved. Now they can say to you, I believe in Jesus Christ. No, you don't. They do not. They don't believe in his divinity. You cannot deny the deity of Jesus Christ and be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, did Jesus ever sin? Is Christ good? Is a way you could answer this question. Look again at John 8 now, and verse 46. John 8:46. What does he say here? Look at this claim. Which of you convinceth me of sin? Is he good? He said, just one of you, tell me, which of you convinces me of sin? Can you imagine us saying that? It wouldn't take long to find some witnesses, line up my kids, my wife, you know. Which of you convinces me of sin? This is what Jesus said. Look what he said in verse 29. I do always those things that please him. Again, another tremendous verse. What are some other verses? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21 says, he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we through him might be made the righteousness of God in him. 1 Peter 2 And verse 22 says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who did no sin. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 7:26. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And then we think of others and what they said about Jesus Christ. Think of the thief on the cross, who in Luke chapter 23 and verse 41 said these words about Christ. He said, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Jesus Christ, he was talking about that thief. This man, Jesus Christ, has done nothing amiss. What did Judas say about Jesus? In Matthew 27 and verses 3 and 4, then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. He said about Jesus, he is the innocent blood. Jesus was innocent, wasn't he? He was the innocent blood that God was looking for to satisfy, to propitiate for our sins. Luke 23, verse 4. Then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. Verse 14. Then said he unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverted the people, and behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man, touching those things whereof ye accuse him of. In John chapter number 18 and verse number 38, Pilate saith unto them, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. Chapter 19, verse 4. I find no fault in him. Chapter 19, verse 6. I find no fault in him. Over and over again, the scriptures tell us that even his enemies found no fault. Hebrews 9. In verse 14, Hebrews 9, verse 14 says this, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, not one spot. Jesus offered himself without one single spot on his record, without thought to God. So what would this Jehovah's Witness be possibly thinking? When they use Luke 18:19 to deny the deity of Christ, when Jesus said, why call ye me good? So what then was Jesus getting at by that response to that man who came up to him and said, good master, what good thing do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Then Jesus responded and said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. What's he trying to get the man? The man's interest is in what? Eternal life, right? What do I have to do to have eternal life? What's the first subject Jesus changes around for? The first thing you got to do is change what you think about me. That's what he's saying to the guy. That's the first thing you got to do is change what you're thinking about me. You just call me a good master. There were good masters all over the place back then. The first thing you have to do is get that fellow to realize I'm God. Why do you call me good? I believe, if I could paraphrase, Jesus is saying, why do you think I'm just another good master, just like all the other guys around? Because there's none good, but one is God. A person cannot deny the deity of Jesus Christ and be saved. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5, it says this, "And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." So how many verses have I given you so far? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 verses I've just read. 17 that say he has no sin, no spot, no blemish, innocent blood. See, you have to just pretend a lot of verses don't exist if you're going to take the position of a Jehovah's Witness. Now, is Jesus Christ God? This is where it's very important, if you talk to them, as I said earlier, that you lay down this rule. We will only use the King James Bible. We will only read the King James Bible and refer to the King James Bible. Because if you allow their perverted Bible based on the Westcott and Hort text to come into the subject, they have twisted a lot of the verses on the deity of Christ. They didn't get them all, but they twisted a lot of them. And you know the most famous is what? 1 John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was a God." They put a little A in there, and then they took the capital G out of God and put a lowercase g, and they just made Jesus a God, a little God. Let me show you another verse. Turn. You got to have verses down on the deity of Christ, and I have a booklet that will get you started, and they're out there. They're free. You ought to just keep one in your house or something, and if one should come to the door your mind goes blank. Did you ever have that happen to you? Or your mind just like an eraser comes across, and you can't remember one verse. If you have something like this in your home on Christology, the doctrine of Jesus Christ, in here I wrote, and point number one is the deity of Christ. And it gives you a lot of verses out of the King James Bible. I'm the deity of Christ, so that you can take them. I think there's some profound verses. Let's look at a few of them because our time's running up. I'll just try to give you some of the best ones here. A lot of them are good, but these are probably the more powerful ones. You don't have to turn to these. I'll read them. 1 Timothy 3:16. "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." God was manifest in the flesh, and then all those other things. 1 Timothy 3:16. Acts 20, verse 28 is great. "Take heed therefore unto the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, G-O-D, which he hath purchased with his own blood." God purchased the church with his own blood. John 13, verses 13 through 14. "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." John 1, 1 John 5:17. "There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, these three are one." John 1, 1 and verse 14. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made manifest, was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory." Hebrews 1, 8. "But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." Unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Hebrews 1, 8. Out of the Old Testament, Isaiah 9, verse 6 is tremendous. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Isaiah 9, verse 6. These are just some verses you ought to have. Study Christology. Study Christology so that you can be quick on your feet, so to speak, quick thinking. And when they say, where does it say? You know, it says Jesus himself said, there's none good but God. then you can ask them, don't you think Jesus was good? And maybe give them 17 verses where it says he is sinless, without spot, without blemish. And then ask him, is he good? Then what's he saying here? He must not be saying, I'm not God. He must be saying, I am God. This guy just don't understand it. And what about the prayer, hallowed be thy name? Is this Jehovah's Witness again implying that only the Father is holy? Because that's what the word hallowed means, holy be thy name. Now you know in that prayer in Matthew 6, verse 9, Luke 11, verse 2, he said, after this manner therefore pray ye. That wasn't the Lord's prayer, that's our prayer. That's our model for prayer. It's a tremendous, tremendous outline to pray properly. But Jesus is holy. And we went through a lot of verses already, and let me just read a few more. Our time's almost gone, but Jesus is holy. You could ask that person, are you saying that Jesus was not holy? We saw that he was holy earlier back in Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse 14. Mark chapter 1 verse 24 says this. Now here's the demons. They're doing a little better in their theology than the Jehovah's Witnesses. The demons. This one demon-possessed man in the synagogue in Capernaum cries out and says, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. So even the demons have their doctrine more straight than the Jehovah's Witnesses. By the way, a lot of Jehovah's Witnesses do end up getting saved if good Christians with a good spirit can show them the truth. I got a good friend, Brother Beebe, up in Center Road Baptist Church, who's really a profound Christian, and his son's in Bible college now, studying to be a preacher, and they were converted out of Jehovah's Witness. And he's a street preacher. Some of you have heard of him. He goes up in the summer times up to the Fishers of Men. They go up at Niagara Falls on Saturdays and pass out just thousands and thousands of scriptures. He's one that they were saved out of Jehovah's Witness and now are preaching the truth. A couple more verses and then we'll close. Well, this is another repeat of that verse. This reference is in Luke 4, verse 34. It says, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Same verse, just two references. It's good to have a couple references, though, to confirm what you're saying and not just take one verse out of context like they do. Acts 4, verse 27. Acts 4, 27. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. Against thy holy child, Jesus. Okay, Jesus was holy. Acts 4:30. Acts 4, verse 30. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Do I completely understand the Trinity? No. Can I completely explain it? No. Can I explain how Jesus Christ could be God the Father and God the Son at the same time? No. Can I explain how he's the Son of God and the Son of Man and God the Son all at the same time? No. But we don't please God by human understanding. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. That's what pleases God. When somebody says, this is what God said, I don't completely understand, I can't completely reconcile it in my mind, but this is what God said, and I believe that Jesus is the Christ. The Bible says every knee someday shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Everyone, someday. So know about the deity of Christ. Don't give it an inch. Say, We read from the King James Bible, we refer to the King James Bible, or our conversation's over. Don't give in an inch on that. Not an inch. Well, let me show you what I've... No, I don't want to hear it. It's based on the Westcott and Fort text. Those were perverted men who had an agenda of perverting the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, just look what they've done. The Westcott and Hort text, here's some of the results of it. The popular New International Version, based on Westcott and Hort text, not the text that's received, eliminates 17 entire verses, 6,500 words, portions of 142 other verses, 40 of the 53 references to hell, and significant other words such as sodomy, Lucifer, Jehovah, and Calvary are eliminated from the New International Version. You can't find the word Calvary in the NIV. You can't find the word Jehovah in the NIV. You can't find the word Lucifer in the NIV. 40 out of 53 times where the word hell appears in the King James, it only appears 13 times in the NIV. In the New International Version, it has El Hanan killing Goliath in 2 Samuel 21:19. Who killed Goliath? Okay, get an NIV and look up 2 Samuel 21:19. It's not David, it's El Hanan. Boy, that'll confuse people, won't it? Jesus, the morning star of Revelation 22 and verse 16, is found falling from heaven in Isaiah 14, verse 12. The New King James, well, that's good, isn't it, Pastor? The New King James Version. The New King James Version made 100,000 changes to the text. For instance, in 1 Corinthians 1:21, the foolishness of preaching is altered to the foolishness of the message preached. The occultic Mobius symbol, the serpent node, on the spine should have been a dead giveaway, popularized by Satanist Aleister Crowley. The ancient depiction of 666, which is on the cover of all the New King James Bibles, was also featured on the cover of Led Zeppelin's rock album, The Presence, as well as the New Age author Marilyn Ferguson's The Aquarian Conspiracy. And so I want to encourage you to study and stick with the King James Bible. If you ever get a copy of Final Authority by Dr. William Grady, read it. But don't let anybody who uses a Westcott and Hort text Bible confuse you. Just say, we're going to only refer to the King James Bible. We're only going to read from it or our conversation's over. And I talk to one of you at a time if you feel up to it. And then stick to the subject. Just say, let's start with the deity of Jesus Christ. This is what the Bible says. And so I hope that helped answer that question about Luke 18:19, where I believe Jesus is just simply saying, look, buddy, if you want to know about eternal life, the first thing you're going to have to understand is I'm God. I'm not just some good teacher walking around Palestine here. And so he dealt with that fellow accordingly. All right. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Sunday.